I was noticing as we sang, several of the messages of the songs that we were singing have to do with some of the things we're going to be talking about this morning as we look at Jesus, the teacher. As we read there in verse 38 of the book of John, chapter 1, those who came to him after having been shown Jesus by John referenced him as Rabbi. And your Bible may or may not have the parentheses statement there, which means teacher. Jesus was a teacher. He was one that we ought to emulate, that song we just got through singing, trying to walk in the light, walk in the steps of the Savior. It's the idea that we ought to follow after Jesus. There are some things we can learn about Jesus as a teacher that can help us in our own responsibilities to teach others the Word of God. For we certainly are given that responsibility. We want to consider some of those things this morning, but there's also some things about Jesus as a teacher that we need to give attention to regarding ourselves in regards to listening to what he has to say and giving heed to the teaching that he has given to us and that he's presented to us both in the Gospels as he went about preaching and teaching in the regions around about Galilee and Judea, and I don't know about more importantly, but also in the things that are revealed in the pages of Scripture. They were inspired. They were the message of Christ that was given to him by God that he gave to the apostles and inspired writers through the Holy Spirit. It's important that we give attention to those teachings ourselves as well. So, to some degree, there's kind of a twofold purpose in considering Jesus as a teacher, both as an example and as one that we need to listen to or give heed to. And we'll touch on both of those this morning. But when we talk about Jesus as a teacher, first we want to consider what kind of teacher was he? In coming to an understanding of the kind of teacher that Jesus was, it can help us to recognize the importance or not importance of his teaching. You know, somebody that's just teaching a few little bitty things that might be useful at some point, if we get in a certain situation, we're not going to be as urgent to listen to that person unless we're likely to find ourselves in that particular situation as we would someone that's going to give us teaching that will help us in all aspects and parts of life. Someone who is teaching something that we are very interested in and we are very concerned about is someone we're going to give close attention to as a teacher. But, you know, say somebody's teaching about interstellar space travel, most of us aren't going to pay a whole lot of attention about that. We might listen to him just to have something to do, maybe. But we're not going to give as much attention to him as we would somebody that might teach us how to save enough money to be able to support ourselves in our final 20 years or something. We'd give more attention to that, probably, because of the importance that it plays. So the kind of teacher, what that teacher is all about, is important for us. And when we look at Jesus as a teacher, we find that ultimately the kind of teacher that Jesus was is a teacher from God. He was a teacher from the one who created this world. He was a teacher that was presenting the message of the eternal Father, the creator of all, the one who planned all of these things and had laid out exactly how these things were going to come about and created the world according to his plan. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus, when we start talking about kinds of teachers and how important he might be to us, he is a teacher from God. He's also, as Luke references in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 when he writes to Theophilus, he is a teacher who not only taught, but he also practiced what he taught. First account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Jesus is a teacher who practices his teachings. He wasn't somebody that went about saying, "Do as I say, don't pay attention to what I'm doing." Every time I think about this idea of learning from someone both by what they say and what they do, I remember my dad's instruction in how to use a pocket knife. He said, never pull the knife towards you. And while he was doing it, he was whittling on a stick and pulling the knife right toward his thumb. You should not pull the knife towards you when you're cutting. Do you know how I whittle nowadays, more likely than not? If I whittle, how I cut on something, I pull it toward me. Why? Because I paid more attention to what he did than to what he said. Jesus wasn't that kind. What he said and what he did matched. And that kind of a teacher is very important to us. Because they not only tell us what we ought to do, but they show us. We've all heard, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day. I think most of the time that was said by somebody that just got out of a service where the preacher preached for an hour and a half, but still. We learn from seeing as much as by hearing. In fact, more so oftentimes. Jesus was a teacher who practiced what he taught. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16, some sent disciples to Jesus along with the Herodians saying, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Jesus knew what truth was, and no matter what anybody said, he was going to teach that truth without fail. He wasn't going to give in to the pressures of the left or the right or the center or the above or the below. He spoke truth. And folks, when we're looking for a teacher, we need to find a teacher that will speak truth, no matter what is going on around. I'm confident that each one of us at some time or another in our life have run into a teacher that would teach one thing, but then when it started getting difficult for him to do that without being oppressed or being given problems or persecuted or whatever, he began to change his tune. Or if events changed in his life, not that the truth changed, but something changed in his relationships or in his family, he began to adjust his teaching so that those things didn't seem so bad. There are a number of men throughout the years who have preached according to the Scripture, from what I can determine, in regards to the ideas of marriage and divorce and remarriage, and then someone in their family, a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or son or daughter, got into one of those situations that they used to teach against and changed their teaching to indicate that maybe that's not quite so bad after all, because they gave in to the pressures, to the things that are going around. They deferred to someone. Jesus does not defer in his teaching to anyone. He speaks truth. Always. Of course, that means he's got to be one who is knowledgeable. He has to know the truth. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54, he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And again in John chapter 7 and verse 13, the Jews were astonished, saying, how has this man become so learned, having never been educated? Now their amazement was that this guy from Galilee, carpenter's son, the guy we grew up with, how did he learn so much? Because he was a teacher with knowledge. He knew. Even when he was young, the record we have of him being in the temple with the scribes and teachers of the law when he was somewhere around 12 years old or so. They were amazed that he knew so much about the law. Well, certainly he knew because he was the Son of God. But he's a teacher that spoke with knowledge. Knowledgeable. When we talk about the kind of teacher that Jesus is, we need to keep these things in mind. Not only is he from God, but he speaks the truth with knowledge and he practices what he teaches. And that's a principle in teaching that we need to have in regards to ourselves today. We need to understand that when we go to talk to people about the gospel, about the condition of their souls, about sin and about heaven, we've been sent from God with that message. And that needs to be evident. that we're speaking the message of God. And that we've not adjusted that message because it's not politically correct or it's not popular. But we speak exactly what the truth is as we can find it in the pages of Scripture. But not only that we speak with knowledge and truth and as from God, but that we are practicing what we speak. People can see our teaching and how we conduct ourselves each and every day. We need to strive to be the kind of teacher that Jesus was. I'm convinced we also need to have the same kind of motivation that Jesus had. Why did Jesus teach? Well, first off, as we mentioned, he was sent by God. God told him to go teach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Luke 4, verse 18. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of our Lord. He has sent me. You were sent by God as a teacher. Are we motivated by the fact that God has sent us to teach? It's not a suggestion that God has given to us. It is a command. Go and speak. Go and teach all nations. Go and proclaim. Time and time again, the Scripture tells us that we have an obligation to teach God's Word. We're sent from God. But we also, when we look at Jesus and the reasons that he taught, the reason he was a teacher, I think one of the things that stands out amongst the many reasons that we might look at, and maybe is the motivation for some of the other things that he might do, was because he had compassion. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus went ashore. He saw a large crowd. And he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Do we see the world as sheep without a shepherd? Do we see our friends and neighbors as lost and without hope? Do we have compassion on those that we come in contact with on a daily basis? Because we see the dire straits that they are in, and we know that what we have is the cure for what ails man, sin. Compassion needs to be a motivation, just like it was for Jesus. Jesus taught, yes, because he was sent, but also because he had compassion on those to whom he was sent. He came to speak and teach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He saw them as without a shepherd, without a guide. Do we see people as that today? Do we have compassion? Another of the characteristics of Jesus as a teacher that I think we need to strive to achieve in our own teaching, in our own lives today, is how he taught. And first we want to note from John chapter 18 and verse 20, he taught openly. When they came to take Jesus and put him on trial, to put him to death because of his teaching, they came and found him at night in the garden where he'd been praying, hidden. But notice what Jesus says there in verse 20. I have spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. When Jesus speaks to those who came to him in hidden ways, like they were having to sneak around to try to find him, Jesus reminds them, I was in the temple daily. I spoke in the marketplace. I walked from town to town. I wasn't hiding myself in my teaching. I was always there, where anyone could come and hear what I have to speak. My message is available to all. And therefore, you shouldn't be surprised at what I say now. What am I teaching? He spoke openly and above board. He did nothing in secret. And he spoke with authority. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29, he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And that caused the people there who heard that Sermon on the Mount to marvel at his message. With the authority with which he spoke. They were amazed, we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 22 at his teaching. For he was teaching them as having one authority. Or as one having authority. And not as the scribes. You know, reading that verse through the years, I've always wondered, how did the scribes teach if they weren't teaching with authority? They were the ones, as we spoke about in Bible class this morning, who had the word. They were the ones who copied the word. That's what a scribe is. They made copies of the scriptures. How could they speak without authority? Well, we know how they could speak without authority. They weren't speaking the words of God. They were speaking the traditions of men oftentimes. Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke openly. In fact, he spoke with authority in such a manner that people were amazed with how he spoke because it was so out of the ordinary. There again, look at us today. When we talk to people about the Word of God, do we speak with authority? Are we confident of what we're saying? Or do we sound like, well, I'm not really sure, but maybe this might be a good idea. I don't know if this will help you or not. That's not the way Jesus approached. Here's what you need to know, is what he said. He spoke with authority. Boldness. The Apostle Paul asked several times that various ones pray for him that he might speak boldly the Word of God. So that there wouldn't be any concern about whether he was truly committed to it or whether he truly understood it. There was authority in the way he spoke. Of course, he spoke that which was right. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 21, some questioned him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you're not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth." There again is this emphasis on he spoke exactly what God had delivered to him to speak. There was no doubt that his message was true. Even his enemies recognized that. At least on one occasion, and this may be it, they approached him from this standpoint and said, "So tell us how we ought to use this coin. Should we give it to Caesar as tax, or does it belong to God?" Paraphrasing what they said there. They came to Jesus. They knew the answer that Jesus would give would be a correct and true answer. "We know you teach from God. Here's this one called adultery. What do we do with it?" Time and time again, as they tried to trick him up, we are reminded that Jesus spoke the truth openly and right. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 47, he was teaching daily in the temple. He sought for opportunities to talk to others about what God wanted them to do. Certainly, we look at Jesus and we recognize his mission was to proclaim the coming kingdom, to prepare the Jews for the kingdom that was to come, much like John was to prepare the Jews for the Messiah that was to come. To remind them of the salvation that God had promised even in the days of Abraham and before. And that it was at hand and they needed to come to God and be prepared to accept that. Yes, we recognize that was Jesus' purpose in coming. Was to proclaim this message and die on the cross for the sins of the world, being a Messiah. But that's also our purpose. Proclaim the message of God. Regularly. Now, as we spoke of in Bible class this morning, we've got the Word in a written form. Most anybody can carry the Word around with them. Probably the great majority of us carry the Word around with us in some form or another everywhere we go. A great number of people here that I know have it on their phones, if nowhere else. Carried in little pocket New Testaments or got a Bible in our car. So the message is not scarce. But we need to remember that we're still given the responsibility to proclaim that message, to speak it to others, to introduce them to Christ, if nothing else. Let them know that it's there. I'm sure you're like me. You've got a lot of friends that know there's a Bible out there, but they're not sure what to do with it. Or they've been misled in how to apply it to their lives, which is evident in what we see and how they conduct themselves. Jesus taught regularly, daily, because he had compassion, and he was sent to do so. We ought to do the same. We ought to develop these attributes of Christ as we emulate him as the perfect example of the teachers that we ought to be. What did he teach? Well, he taught the way of God. And he taught it in truth. He taught what he had been taught by God. Look, beginning in John chapter 7 and verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." Chapter 8 and verse 28. "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father taught me." Matthew 22 and 16, they sent disciples to him. They said, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth," as we read just a moment ago. He spoke the message God had given him to speak. He didn't sit down and figure out what his own message ought to be. He simply spoke what he had been given to speak. I think that's an attribute of Jesus as teacher that we need to make sure we emulate today. It's not my message that I need to get across. It's not the message of the Tanner Street Church of Christ that we need to be getting across to people. The message that we need to be teaching and proclaiming to others is the message of God as delivered through Jesus Christ. The message of salvation to be found in Christ, in Christ alone. And folks, there's no reason for us not to know what that message is, for, as we mentioned, each of us have a copy of the Bible that we can read and study from at any time. That's the message we need to preach. It doesn't really matter what Dan thinks. What matters is what God said. I think that's an important concept for us to grasp about Jesus as a teacher. Even though he was there when the world was created, it was by his word that all things were created, we read in John chapter 1. Jesus did not speak his own message. He spoke the message of God that he'd been sent to speak. If Jesus, the Son of God, was careful to speak only God's message, then we, as mere human beings, need to be very careful to speak only God's message. That message included how to be in the kingdom. Now, the message that Jesus presented, as we find recorded in the Gospels, was directed particularly at the Jews to bring them back into a right relationship with God so that they would be prepared for the time when the Messiah comes. So that they would be ready for the kingdom when it arrived. For that message was, the kingdom is at hand. Our message today is, the kingdom is here. How do you come into this kingdom? How do you become a part of this kingdom? And here's the instruction God has given us for that. But you know, many of the things that we teach about one coming into the kingdom, one being in the kingdom, one being a citizen of the kingdom, are the same things that Jesus taught those Jews to get them right with God, because they are the same. One of the places that we see this very readily is in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, and we won't read through all of chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew, but the teaching there is how to be in the kingdom, how to be right in the sight of God, how to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. between the things that are taught there and the things that we find in the book of Acts taught by the apostles, the things that we find in the various epistles that were written to the churches and to the individuals, we have contained in the New Testament scriptures what it takes to be a child of God today. Both the necessity of becoming a child so that we can be a part of that kingdom, and how to remain a child and live in that kingdom in a manner that we are pleasing to our King and to our Father, God in heaven, so that we might receive the eternal reward. We also want to take a moment and remind us that Jesus' teaching was effective. And I think if for no other reason, and certainly there are many more important reasons that we've already talked about why we ought to emulate Jesus, but if for no other reason we ought to emulate Jesus in the kind and the why and the how and the what, because he was so effective with his teaching. He caused people to marvel and give attention. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Matthew 7:28. Chapter 13, verse 54, he began teaching in his hometown in their synagogue so that they were astonished. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 5, they kept on insisting, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee even as far as this place. One of the accusations they made against Christ is he stirs up the people. When I read that message, I'm reminded of the accusation that was made against the Apostle Paul and his companions that they turned the world upside down. Same idea. He was effective in his teaching. He got their attention, made them want to listen, and cause changes to come about. He made some people stop and consider how they were living and how they ought to be living. He changed them. He made disciples. When the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, we read in John chapter 4 and verse 1. From the very beginning, he began to make disciples, those that listen to his teaching. Cause them to praise him, to glorify him, as they began to see who he was because of the teaching and the things that he practiced. We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 15. He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. Jesus is a teacher we ought to emulate. He got results. And we can have similar results today. Well, we're probably not going to have the opportunity to speak to 5,000 people on the side of a mountain like he did. But he got results talking to one woman sitting in a well. He got results talking to people in somebody's house, in the synagogue, in the marketplace. Why? Because it was evident that his message was the message of God. And he spoke with such authority that people gave attention to what he had to say. We need to learn to emulate Christ. We need to learn to develop these attributes, characteristics, whatever you want to call them, that Christ had as a teacher. But more importantly than that, we need to heed his teaching. We need to give attention to the things that Jesus taught, because heeding his teaching will make us wise. Remember, we talked in Bible class about how Jesus used parables and such. He spoke in symbols to teach his truths oftentimes. In Matthew chapter 7, we have one of those instances. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Listening to the teachings of Jesus will make us wise. Make us able to make right and proper decisions so that we can withstand the difficulties and struggles that come upon us in this life. And I know every single one of us has difficulties and struggles in life. No matter how well things may seem to be going, we may be just like that duck that's nice and calm and you can't see anything going on above the surface, but down below we're just paddling like crazy. Make sure we stay afloat and keep moving forward. We all have struggles and trials. Listening to the teachings of Jesus will enable us to have the wisdom to bear up through those things, to stand like the house that's able to withstand the hurricane or the tornado or the strong wind, because we'll be built on the teachings of Christ. It makes us wise. Giving attention to and heeding the teachings of Jesus Christ can bring us happiness. If you know these things, John 13 and verse 17, you are blessed or happy if you do these things. Not the giddy happiness of a child that got exactly what he was asking for on his birthday, but the true happiness that comes to one who has contentment, who knows that they can bear up under the trials and difficulties and struggles of this life, who is looking for something beyond the here and now in order to achieve their happiness. A happiness that comes to one who is willing to focus on the hereafter. This kind of happiness, if we do the will of God, we can have that lasting happiness and peace that belongs only to those who are His. Listening to His Word, giving attention to the teachings that He has presented to us throughout the Gospels, and as are presented to us by His inspired messengers, will cause us to be like Him. Peter tells us that Jesus is our example in suffering. Jesus told His disciples Himself in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Don't we want to be like Jesus? Oh, to be like Thee? Don't we strive to be like Jesus, to walk in His footsteps, to follow the pathway? The way to do that is to listen and give heed to His teaching. Remember, as we made mention in our Bible class this morning, the Beatitudes of the book of Revelation even include the blessings or the happiness that is promised upon the one who will heed the message, who will do, who will live in accordance with it. Because it is the message of Jesus Christ, the teaching that He has given to us and has been preserved throughout the ages in the New Testament Scriptures, that will allow us to be saved. He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. He who has disbelieved will be condemned. Belief or faith comes through hearing. We cannot believe that which we will not hear. We need to give attention, give heed to the teachings of Jesus, the teacher. Not only do we need to imitate Him as a teacher, we need to listen to His teachings ourselves and put them into practice in our lives. We need to be the kind of teacher and doer that Jesus was. Jesus is a perfect example of a teacher. We need to do what we can to emulate Him as we go about preaching and teaching the Word of God today. Even more importantly, we need to emulate Him so that we can be with God in eternity. We need to give attention to His message, put it into practice in our life. If you look this morning and find that you're straight and serving the Lord, we encourage you to come back. If you're one who is one of His children, who have been buried in baptism and have your sins washed away and added to the family of God,
then you find that you've strayed. You've not practiced the things of the message of Christ as you ought to have. I encourage you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive you your sin. The congregation needs to pray on your behalf because of public sin, certainly. You really wanted to do that. You can never become a part of the family of God. We encourage you to become one of His children. Submit to the teaching of Jesus. Not only believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but confess that before men. And allow that to cause you to change your way. Stop following yourself and the world and start following Christ. Turn around and come back to God. Submit yourself in obedience. Be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. So that you might be put to death with Christ and rise with Christ to walk in meaningful of life. And if we can assist, opportunity is yours. Come on, stand in the sanctuary.